Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Back in here live, hour number 3 on a Wednesday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D. Mace, and Marquise with you. Coming up at 8:30 this morning, we will talk with Sean Henry, and then we've got Stick to Sports at 8:45. Last night, my man Reese Davis putting in the grind, putting in the work last night.
Consummate professional.
Love that guy. College basketball, 2 good ones. Kentucky, Missouri, the Cats beat Sparty 69-62. Duke edges Kansas 68-66, and in between...
Did you say the Cats beat Missouri?
Say what?
Is that what I just heard?
The Cats beat Sparty?
Sparty. Did I just miss that?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
That's all right. Derek Mason, your thoughts. Sparty goes down and costs me money.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we discussed it yesterday a little.
Costs me money.
Langford didn't play, and... Winston can't. He tried to do it by himself, and he can't. But listen, Kentucky played a really good game, and that's why you want to see these games early, I think, because it helps build, you know, each program to when they get in conference play, they've already played these tough games. Coach Calipari is the best coach ever. God, I hate saying
twice.
That.
You did it twice now.
Man, I hate saying that.
How many times
but
do you have to say it?
I got to say it randomly throughout the show. if Michigan State had won this, I'd have been in here gloating. But they didn't. They'll still be fine. But Kentucky proved that, you know, those bunch of freshmen that they have,
they're good. So, all right, you had a rooting interest. You're a Michigan State alum, and you love the Spartans. Nick is a sick and twisted gambling fiend. How much do people around the country or in Nashville, whatever, care about those games last night? Were they watching for the football rankings? Were they watching? Like, did people actually?
I think the Kentucky contingent in this city,
yeah,
probably watched.
Yeah, they watched that.
Oh, no question. Kentucky watches. I'm just saying, because we talked about this yesterday a little bit. Are people more interested in college basketball earlier this year than before? You've had this massive FBI scandal that has drawn a lot of attention to the sport. You've got an SEC league that is far better than it was 5 or 6 years ago as far as basketball coaching and talent goes. You've got a Middle Tennessee area that has got a lot of reasons to be interested in this sport. You've now got a Murray State rookie who's playing in the state at Memphis and John Morant. I'm just curious. Again, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, and 4 in action last night in college basketball. Is that just a one-time thing, or are we actually going to be more interested in college basketball building up during the football season, or do we all just turn it on after the Super Bowl? Like, I'm just curious how interested are we going to be in
college
basketball?
I can answer that two ways.
Not gambling and not fans.
No, two ways for you. Number one, for me, my love of college basketball has been rekindled from last year. Mm. I don't know if it was just the Vols being so good, Auburn going on that run, Kentucky being loaded, the conference that we care about in this section of the country feels like it was better than it's been in a while.
So even though you lived in Philly,
so
you lived in Philly during Villanova. Now, I know you're a Temple guy, and I don't know how much hatred there is
for
Temple and Villanova.
Rich kids against the public school.
Right, yeah, of course. That story of this country. But I'm just like, that was a hotbed there for a couple years where Villanova was playing in the national title game a couple of different times. So you were living in a city where there was college basketball, fever pitch there, and it still didn't catch you. It still didn't hook you in.
It did for stretches, but from like probably 2013, 2014 up until probably last winter, like I kind of checked out on it a little bit like I do baseball at times. But I'll say this, to your point, to your question about nationally or people in this market, just about the sport in general, maybe it goes down a little bit because of all the one and done guys that are gone. The Zions, I mean, like last year was kind of a rare year of elite talent.
With Zion and Barrett and some of the other guys not being around, I think like Zion Williamson was an appointment viewing thing. Mm-hmm. So even though if you hated Duke, you still watched Duke because you were going to watch Zion. And mm-hmm. he influenced that, unlike any singular athlete in college basketball in a long time. Who is that guy or couple of guys this year that are those freshmen? There are plenty of really good ones out there. Mm-hmm. There's no question. I'm just sort of asking a generic, you know, large scale question about, are we more interested? Because the NBA is clearly more popular than, like, on a national scale. This is what I'm fascinated by with baseball, why we have this baseball NBA discussion in Nashville all the time. Like, is baseball going to be successful here or not? Like, baseball, we know how successful it is regionally. It does extremely well regionally within its own TV market and within its own sort of, you know, little universe, little bubble. Mm-hmm. But the NBA is far more popular nationally. Like, it's a more national, and I don't know if that's because ESPN, you know, shoves it down your throat more, and maybe that's part of it. But basketball as a sport is clearly upward trajectory for 15 years, 20 years. Baseball's on a downward trajectory nationally for 15 or 20 years.
I think a lot of that has to do with pace of play as well.
They've done a great basketball, college and pro, but in particular college. Yeah. Has done a great job changing the rules the last few mm-hmm. years with the freedom of movement, no hand checking, all that stuff has allowed for more.
But even the time you invest as a fan and a consumer, you watch those basketball games last night. They're both at, what, two hours and 15 minutes maybe, max?
Yeah, I mean, 2 hours is about the length of a college basketball game. So I agree, it's a short.
I mean, you're lucky to get a baseball game in 3 hours and 2 minutes.
Yeah.
NBA the same way. NBA is what, 2.5 hours?
Yeah, you can get
through. Hockey's about 2.5. Yeah, you can get
through an NBA game fairly quickly. I just think college basketball, Tim made an interesting statement.
Brando.
Tim Brando, we had him on early. He made an interesting statement about college basketball when it starts. It's sort of like, you know, the NFL in a sense where you only have, during the preseason, the starters are only playing one or two games. And then you get first game of the season, you see a penalty fest. And you see teams not playing the way that you thought they would play because they hadn't spent a lot of time together. Well, college basketball is sort of the same thing where these young men are just getting on the court, practicing together, and then all of a sudden they got to play a game a week or two later. You're not going to see quite the... You're not the level of competition or the level of or the talent out there can't fully display themselves because they hadn't had a lot of time together.
Right.
So you see the turnover fest in the Kansas and Duke game. You see a low scoring Michigan State Kentucky game because they haven't been together for a long time. But then these teams end up playing like 2 or 3 months later. And then it's a different ball game with both.
Doesn't that make it hard, though, for fans to get into it in the fall?
I mean, if you started a little bit later, probably not.
And football's taking place, right? I mean, Casey Alexander said it yesterday. He said, all people want to talk about right now is football.
No, you're right. Maybe if you started a little bit later, give these teams opportunity to practice a little bit longer, then start a little bit later.
Do you guys get into the
You think a preseason would help?
I mean, they've got those.
They've got a couple of preseason,
Do you guys care at all anymore about, like, I used to love the Maui Invitational. I would watch the Maui Invitational every year.
I still like it.
Yeah. I'd watch it every year. But now there's like 50 tournaments, and I can't. The Battle for Atlantis, and I can't keep them all straight. And
that's sort of their preseason, sort of.
And again, it offers opportunities for lots of teams to get good wins. I mean, that's it. But you can build a resume if you're a mid-major team. You can build a resume if you're, you know, if you think you're going to be, like, Tennessee could be a very much middle-of-the-pack SEC team this mm-hmm. year. They could be 7th place and be 10-8 in the league. And if you're going to be 10-8 in a Power 5 league, you better have some good non-conference wins mm-hmm. if you're going to get into the tournament. So I don't mind the tournaments. I don't know. I think for some reason I personally am more interested, and I just want to know if – like, I know why you're interested, Nick. You're gambling on it. I know why mm-hmm. Derek's interested in Michigan State because it's your school. But, you know, it's a great point about Zion not being around. Who's filling that void?
Who's that marquee
Who's
player?
Filling the void? Like,
oh, who is that marquee team? Like, everybody mm-hmm. wanted to watch Duke because they had Barrett, they had Zion – They had, what's the other kid?
Trey Jones is back.
No, not Trey Jones.
He was a freshman last
year. Reddish?
Yeah, Cam Reddish. Right. Cam Reddish. So they had these three freshmen that were just phenomenal.
Yeah.
So you wanted to watch them.
Yep. Speaking of Tennessee, they did play last night. They beat UNC Asheville by 15 points. Pretty balanced effort. Turner had 17, Pons had 15.
Rick Barnes was not happy.
Shouldn't be.
With their performance last night.
No, they were big-time favorites.
Yeah.
Bowden and Fulkerson, 10 apiece.
I don't know about you guys. I don't see the elite talent. I don't see the upside. Like, even Grant Williams and Jordan Bone, I'm not sure they were, quote, elite talents.
You guys had them at, what, nine?
They're an 8 or 9 seed in our magazine at Athlon Sports. I think we picked them 7th in the conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't see, you know, maybe the young freshman materializes, and next year maybe they bring in, again, the other top 5
so
kid they got.
So you don't see 20 wins out of them?
I mean, maybe, but 20 and 16?
Mm-hmm. You don't think top 25 team? Or fringe?
I don't see it yet. Now, we're talking about one game here, right? So let's not overreact too much. But it's just not – like, I think Turner and Fulkerson, like, these are solid guys.
Uh-huh.
These guys
but
aren't
– not
right. They're not. They're not game changers. And so I need to see who do you give the ball to when the game's on the line that you need a bat? Like, who's going to carry the team? And is Turner that guy? I just don't know. We need to see.
Coming up at 8:30 this morning, Talking Shop with Sean Henry. But when we come back, we're going to get to the NHL, but it has really nothing to do with the on-ice product. We'll explain coming up next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 A Game.
Here's what I'm going to get to, and I got to it yesterday, and I'm going to continue to get to it because, men, you need to know about it because we're all aging, and when we age, man, some things start to kind of go down just a tad bit. We need to boost it back up. That's why I'm going to tell you about my good friends over at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And that's what I'm talking about. As we get a little older, some things start to get off kilter a little bit, and we need to center everything. So who better can center all of that? Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with that experienced staff. This is what they would do. They would give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, which I am in, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. I dealt with low energy levels. I'm going to tell you, man. I just thought it was because of the yoga and the working out. But then I went over to see Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and that wonderful staff and his wife, Daphne. And bam, I walked out. A couple of weeks later, boom, I was back to my old self again. I was just ready to go. I was just ready. I was ready to dunk on anybody, man. Seriously, ready to dunk on my son if need be. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthier and enriched life. And who doesn't want to achieve that? What are you waiting on, man? Here's the number. Get Cool Springs MD a call. Make that appointment. Write it down quickly. Pull over if you're driving, because this is a very important number that you need to have stored in your phone, man. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Not only will you be happy, but the missus will be happy as well. Or if you can't call them, then visit their website, coolspringsmd.com.
It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. You just heard Sean Henry there. That was not planned. Those are just randomly put in there in some type of rotating system. But Sean Henry will, in fact, join us coming up at 8:30 this morning. And that's going to start off with some NHL conversation and a story, a really in-depth feature by The Athletic, which, again, pay for good journalism because for like $5 a month, you can actually get more than the slideshow. This story about the NHL with cocaine and Molly. So hold on to your steering wheel for this story. And I'll just give you two little sentences here to kind of set the scene. It starts off with the following. Back in May, a video featuring Washington Capitals' Evgeny Kuznetsov sitting near two lines of a white powder-like substance that many presumed was cocaine began making the rounds on social media. It was taken while the team was in Vegas to play the Golden Knights. Not much ever came of it with the Caps on their playoff and Stanley Cup run. But that brings up an in-depth feature, and it is very long. But if you have an attention span north of mustard, you'll be able to consume it.
It is very long.
It is really good, though, about this sport, and maybe not even just the NHL, other sports as well, with what might be an issue going around.
A couple of things. This seems to be...
Now, by the way, he did get tested for cocaine.
Yes, and he got busted for it. I think a 3-game suspension. But what's interesting is there is this assumption that, and a lot of people in this story. So what they did is she went and cited, the Athletic went and did a bunch of research sort of with the promise of anonymity. Players, former players, coaches, administrators, just people in the sport, right? Like asking about this issue in the sport. What do you know about this issue? What are your thoughts on this issue? Sort of give us some perspective, right? Which I think is really, that's again, that's good journalism. And you package that around a couple of different ideas. One, in this article, which I am kind of shocked to learn, one of the numbers, and this is according to the CDC, that cocaine overdoses in this country doubled from 2014 to 2016. And my first thought was, didn't we do this cocaine conversation thing in the 70s and 80s? And didn't we learn from our mistakes that this is a terrible thing, that it's a bad product, and that it's extraordinarily dangerous? Apparently, there was this giant uptick in production from South America in 2013. I had no idea about that, and I read a lot of drug articles and watch a lot of drug movies and stuff like that. So there's this whole other thing that's happening in this country. And then there's this assumption that hockey players are just the same as the regular public. And this is where I don't follow this. There are a lot of people in this story quoted as saying, oh, this is not that big a deal. Hockey usage of these drugs is matching American public usage of these drugs. Hockey players are no different than average American citizens. I would agree with that as, like, you know, if you're talking about people's general human beliefs and ideas, everyone's the same. I get all of that.
Right.
Most Americans don't make 7 figures. So I don't think it's fair to say that if you make $1 million plus in this country that you're the average American. A hockey player is not an average American public person, because the average American is working hard to pay bills and find insurance and multiple jobs and contractors. There's a million things that are different between a guy who makes $6 million a year, or even Austin Watson or Colton Sissons or Rocco Grimaldi, guys that are on the lower levels of the contract. They're making $1.5 million a year. That's not average American public. So you have massive amounts of disposable income. You know, it's really interesting that this story says, hey, it used to be a six-pack of beer. Now it's you're popping Molly, and which, again, I have no idea even what that does. And then cocaine. Like, it's bizarre trend lines that are fascinating to watch.
Interesting that was your first reaction and take. Mine was, because later in the story it talks about how the NHLPA is concerned about the use of coke. An explosive article in TSN revealed that teams were certainly keeping an eye on this. I automatically thought back to Lawrence Taylor in the 80s, who was obviously known for using cocaine, and I'm wondering if players are using it to gain a performance-enhancing element, like on the ice.
To wake you up after a long night or something?
Yeah.
That's the way LT did it, I guess.
I guess it could be a stimulant of some sort.
I don't think could is the right word.
It is.
I think
it is. You know, this is what I gathered from it. It may be all sports across the board. But hockey, I think in particular, hockey has isolated or insulated themselves so much so that you don't hear about a lot of this stuff that is going on. And I think they want it that way. You know, you don't hear about, you know, stuff like this. You don't hear about the concussions and everything, you know, stuff like that. Because they keep themselves insulated. They keep it in-house. Maybe because the sport is not as big as football.
Anything that happens
with football, you find out about it.
Well, a lot of these networks don't cover it as much as the NFL and the NBA.
Absolutely.
I mean, the concussion issue for hockey players, by the way, is a very real thing.
Exactly.
You can find out all kinds of lawsuits and go read about it. It's just not covered.
It's not covered.
The way the NFL is.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because,
bad,
you know, if it's covered the way that the NFL, things that are in the NFL is covered, maybe things will get changed faster. I don't know. But it's amazing how, you know, like you said, Braden, we thought this was, you know, the cocaine use was like in the 70s.
Didn't we learn
80s,
this lesson
yeah.
already?
Like, and now all of a sudden it seems like it's rearing its head again.
Like, there's so much misinformation about marijuana. You need to educate yourself. There's actual redeeming qualities to what it can do.
But
and even talks about it in here that marijuana is still commonplace in the NHL. Much and frankly, it's legalized in like half the states that
but
the NHL
but
plays
the problem
in.
With marijuana.
But there is not a misinformation. Yeah. There's not a misinformation about cocaine. It is extremely dangerous and it will kill you.
Exactly.
We learned this lesson. Why are we not? Why are we going back to it? I don't understand. As a country, I don't understand.
I you're right. I have no idea. And obviously, I hadn't studied it enough to have an idea on it. I think the problem with some. I think the problem with marijuana, for instance. I think the problem with marijuana is this, and I wish they would make it legal across all states, is that
soon enough.
If it's not legal, you don't know what it's laced with. Even if it's legal, you probably don't know. But if it's not legal, you don't know what it's laced with.
Well, there's black markets with
exactly.
Even with these vape pen things.
Absolutely.
There's black market
stuff. When a guy, you know, starts smoking marijuana, and we say, well, marijuana, it's not an addictive drug. Well, physically. It may not be, but we don't know what's in it that keeps these young men or women going back to it. Because if we're saying it's not addictive, then there's something within that marijuana that they're selling that keeps them going back.
I think you have to.
Cocaine is probably the same. It's an addictive drug.
Yeah, I think you have to. It's 10 times as addictive.
Exactly.
In fact, alcohol is 1,000 times more addictive than don't quote me scientifically on the 1,000 times, by the way, there. That's just a radio phrase.
Somebody will tweet you.
Yeah,
dude, brain, you don't
know. It's just fascinating. Like they put out these studies every year. Like, what are the 5 most addictive substances in America? And it's like, you know, heroin, meth, alcohol, cocaine. It's all the same things. It's the exact same things every year that are the most addictive. Frankly, they should put fat and sugar on there too, but these are the most addictive things. And I just find it interesting that, and again, they did this large study, The Athletic did, within the NHL, and the quote, here's what we found. The vast majority of people interviewed indicated that the tendency of players from eras past to abuse drugs, even painkillers, has shifted. Marijuana use is still considered common, and it's legalized in many places in the United States and federally legalized in Canada. So that's prompted discussions between the NHL and the NHLPA about an informed agreement about its usage, which I think is a smart and rational way to approach something. Mm-hmm. Because, again, we were spoon-fed misinformation for decades about marijuana from the United States government. Don't tell me I'm wrong about that. Go read about it. But the growing sense, and this is a quote, but the growing sense is that some players are spurning the post-game six-pack of beer and turning to stronger substances, including hard and synthetic drugs. That is dangerous. Mm-hmm. That is bad. Why is that happening?
Because they're dealing with the pain. That's basically what it is. When you, and especially in sports hockey, because that's what they're talking about. Because they play 80-some games, because the grind, because the physical nature, just think, it's basically you're playing 82 football games. That's basically what you're doing.
It's not as physical.
But what I'm saying is you're basically out there.
To the head, I mean.
Yeah, to the head. But you're out there playing basically 82 football games. You're getting ran into the – checked into the boards, all this other stuff. It's taking a toll on your lower body. 82 games. And these guys feel that, you know, the conventional way of getting over it is not working. So what do I do?
Right. And if you talk to a doctor will tell you off the record, like if you've got head injuries like football players do and hockey players do, that marijuana is fine. Mm-hmm. There's medicinal purposes to it. There's not a doctor I can – again, I don't know for sure here, guys, but I'm pretty sure the studies have been done on cocaine. Like we understand
– cocaine is a hell of a drug.
That there is no redeeming quality to this. Mm-hmm. There's a reason you're Schedule I narcotic because there's no medicinal value, and that's why people want to bring marijuana off of that list, right? It's just the quote here from a player. It's real quote. It's really the secret that everybody knows. That's one recently retired NHL player who still works in the game.
Oh wow!
Like and the Molly thing is like what the heck? Like both of these things are just shocking to me. When I read the article, I was shocked that as a country and a collection of players that is now trending in upward. That is a huge concern.
Stick to Sports is coming up at 8:45. When we come back, we talk shop with the president, Sean Henry, next on Morning Drive. 8:33, welcome back in Wednesday live edition Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stick to Sports coming up at 8:45. Little Imagine Dragons there for you because, you know, ESPN killed that song 2 years ago with a college football playoff theme song for four straight months.
Oh, and The Natural, by the way.
Oh, man.
Brutal.
Yeah, ESPN College Football and Imagine Dragons. It's a trio for the ages. Sean Henry is with us right now for Talking Shop with the Prez.
Sean, last night we had an opportunity to attend a wonderful event, Chairs Tonight, event stars. If you want to go check them out, starsnashville.org. This event has been going on for 11 years, but I had the opportunity, as well as you did, to watch one of, you know, the greatest figure skaters in American history in Scott Hamilton, him getting the Troy Gentry Award. What has Scott meant to, from your eyes, what has Scott meant to the city of Nashville?
He's incredible, isn't he? If you're not moved by that event, there's something wrong with you. I mean, it's rare where you see a Scott Hamilton upstaged by a young lady who talked about her own trials, tribulations, and what one person can do to step into someone's life to change it. That's something Scott does every day. I mean, Stars does it on such a grand scale. But the moment Scott arrived in Nashville, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was, he decided to make changes. And what he said, I try to steal it as often as I can, he just says yes. If you ask him to do something, he says yes. When we approached him about the skating academy, he said yes before we even outlined what it could be, what it meant. And he's like that with everything else. And you look what he takes on. I mean, he's literally taking on cancer. And as we've been so successful on improving survival rates in all fronts of cancer, especially pediatric, as he says, the treatment is still too harsh. So he's literally building these $100 million cancer proton centers on his own. And there's, I think, five of them in the country, and he's built three of them, and he's taking one on right here in Nashville. I mean, no challenge is too big for him. He's inspirational. I mean, I see him, and I wake up, and I realize I can be a lot better if I just tried to be a little bit more Scott Hamilton-like.
Hey, Sean, I know you guys and the Preds Foundation are extraordinarily involved in the community. You know, Derek's on that board. I've got my charity that I work with. Just in general, I think everybody sees a community in our city, and everybody wants to help. Like, I want to help a million different ways, but that's not sort of the advice you get from people who are in that space. They say, hey, focus on one thing that you really are passionate about, you know, whether it's, you know, animals or, you know, education or whatever. Do you have advice just in general for people that are listening that want to get involved in a cause of some sort that to either, you know, what's the strategy to sort of starting up and getting involved in stuff in general?
You know, for me, and again, I steal a lot from Scott Hamilton on this, and it was on display last night, as teammates said, just great event. Saying yes is a good thing. It doesn't mean you have to give 40 hours that week to that cause, and we should have something that's near and dear to your heart that you really want to take on. But realize you're going to have a lot of other things, a lot of opportunities to give, whether it be at your child's school or sports leagues or the small fundraisers they're taking on, whether it's peanut butter for Haiti, as most of our kids will do, or something like that. You have to be deliberate about getting involved with things, but I always caution people, don't worry about taking on too much. I mean, it's amazing what a mule can pull when you just keep loading that cart, but there should be one or two things that are really core and centric for you that you will spend a lot of your time and energy and mental capital, if you will. But at the same time, when one of your kids or a neighbor or someone you can influence is getting involved with a charity, I think it's a great idea or a bad idea, helping them out, pulling them up, showing them a different way, maybe donating time or money, whatever it may be, it just helps that child or that young person or young executive to say, wow, this is pretty impactful. I can do more and more and more. And, again, that's a blueprint that a lot of people that I've seen, as busy as they are, always have time to do a little bit more in the community. And it's contagious. It changes who and what we can be.
Sean Henry joining us here on Morning Drive. So Saturday night we saw the chapter for Nashville SC in the USL come to a close. We know coming up next year in 2020 they will be a part of the MLS. Curious from your perspective, what are some of the challenges that Nashville SC will face starting up as a basically an expansion franchise in Major League Soccer and some of the obstacles that they have to overcome? Because you've been around franchises long enough and you know what it takes to become a winning product.
Well, I think you just hit the biggest challenge that they're going to have. And, you know, fortunately, they have a great owner. They have an incredible executive in Ian as a CEO and really good employee base. Actually, a couple of our guys are moving over there in the next few weeks, which is exciting for them, for us. I think the biggest challenge is everyone thinking it's Nashville SC, and it's not. It's the MLS, and it's very, very different. And Nashville SC is great. I mean, what a fun team they were to watch. But there's a difference between AAA baseball and Major League Baseball. There's a difference between the AHL and the NHL, and there's a difference between SC and the MLS. And I think that's something that they're going to have to, you know, overcome and challenge. You know, ticket prices are going to be very, very affordable, but they're going to be a lot more expensive than Nashville SC. But the play is going to be incredibly higher as well. So, but they have everything going well for them. They're well-heeled. They're every position on the executive side, management side. And really what they got to focus on is building a culture. And that's really the most important thing the first 2 or 3 years. What's great about that league, though, you can be competitive out of the chute. And I think they're going to be. It's going to be fun.
Now, we obviously being at the event last night, Sean, didn't get an opportunity to see the Duke game as well as the Kansas game. And I caught the second half of the Kentucky game. But you got the Western Kentucky game and Louisville game coming up. What do you think about that game? I mean, Louisville, they've always been this team in basketball. They've always been one of these top-notch teams. Obviously, they've gone through their little turmoil with the head coach, but we hope, and I know Louisville fans hope, that they're now back on the uptick. How do you see this game?
I'm excited about it for selfish reasons. My son goes there, so it means he'll stay home Thanksgiving weekend. We get to go. But for a community, we get to see one of the best teams in the country, and that's what we try to do when we book these unique events. And you know, we do a lot of concerts, a lot of events. Although we do very unique things a year, and hosting a neutral site basketball game is one of them. You have a chance. You know, Western Kentucky always feels a really good competitive team, and it's fun that Louisville, you know, gives them a chance to play a neutral site game. But we have a chance to see a team that could be a Final Four team right here, and it's going to be great. And maybe even have one of the largest college games in our state this year, hosted right at Bridgestone Arena. So for me, selfishly, it's fun. For the community, it's always good to bring great basketball to our city because our basketball culture is growing and growing by the day.
Hey, all right, Sean, I want to float an idea to you, see what you think. We're just, you obviously don't need any help doing your job, but the three of us.
Oh,
just
I get a lot of help. I need help, man. Please.
Couple of radio. I did run this by David Poyle, and David Poyle said it was a great idea. So I've got. You know, I feel like I've got permission to ask you this because David Poyle has said this is a great idea. I was at the Black Keys concert, and I'm sitting at Bridgestone Arena enjoying myself with my friends, and I'm listening to Gold on the Ceiling, which, of course, is the main the scoring moment there for Preds fans. And I'm looking up at the rafters, and I'm going, why are the catwalks and all the ductwork, why is that all not painted gold? And then you literally would have gold on the ceiling so that when you celebrate a goal – everyone, like the whole, I know you want to paint everything gold anyway. Why not? Is there some restrictions or regulations on how, like, the visuals have to be for players on the ice? Is there some restriction there, or could you actually go through and, like, paint the whole thing gold?
You know what? When we switch our colors to gold and we were switching out our arena seats, of course we looked at gold seats and gold everything. As you said, I want everything to be painted gold, my shoes to my temples. but if you did the ceiling, it would really negatively affect our ability to do concerts, especially TV productions like CMAs or CMTs or whatever else we do. Just the light refractions would really cause havoc. Now, we still look at it. How can we do it on a temporary basis? And we haven't found the right solution yet, LED lighting, you know, pushing through. The problem is that washes, you know, with the sports lighting and really affects the TV production. So we've been all over it, but we haven't given up yet. So if you can figure out a way or we can, you'll be seeing some gold on that ceiling.
Sean, now that I got the wife and the daughters down here and the family situated, we were thinking about adding a pet to the family. We were thinking about going with a yellow lab, maybe a German shepherd, but the wife decided that she wanted to go with a black cat. Your thoughts on black cats recently?
Dude, I've never been a cat fan to begin with. I grew up with a cat. It was a black cat. She was fine. I impressed my wife by taking a stray cat in. We were dating from her mother that she found, and she was fine. But those are the only two cats outside of Nash I've ever seen or been around that I've liked. But how about that? I mean, the Giants are steamrolling the hated Cowboys. And, you know, our version of the GOAT goes rolling out there and got in the end zone more than the Jets ever will this season. But I think maybe more than we'll get in the end zone this season, too. That was awful. And it was a great play call, though. If you haven't heard the call yet, it was awesome. But I really hate that cat.
Can't blame you. Sean, always a pleasure.
I don't trust cats either.
We appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Sean Henry joining us for his weekly appearance.
Yeah, they have the Kevin Harlan call. We played it yesterday in the show. Oh, so good.
Didn't they go downhill for the Giants after that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's gone downhill for the Giants since they beat the Patriots the second time around.
Yeah, you got a point there.
2011.
Yeah.
I just think it so of course they've already considered painting the ceiling gold. Uh-huh. Of course. I don't want the ceiling gold. I want all the catwalks and all the duct work and all that stuff gold. Still, I assume that there are some I assumed that there would be some visual issues, because if Sean Henry could paint something gold, he would do it.
Can they get like just like a gold wrapping where they can take it off,
maybe.
You know, during concert, they can
like
kind of take it off. Yeah, just take it off and put it to the side.
How many TV events? I mean, you get the Preds as a TV event, obviously, uh-huh.
But how many TV events do they have there?
Outside of the Preds, there's like the CMA Awards, right? And there's a couple of different other award shows. But again, like, I just was sitting there watching the Black Keys, and he's singing Gold on the Ceiling, and I look up, and I'm like, it's all black up there.
Gold,
which I know it's up there
ceiling.
For a reason, but I'm going, why not? Let's just put the gold up there.
Might as well.
David Poyle loved the idea, but David Poyle doesn't worry about light refraction on a TV broadcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Stick to sports coming up next here on Morning Drive.
Let me tell you.
It is Morning Drive. Love getting emotional. It's what makes you a human being. If you ain't got emotion, get out of my face.
Isn't that what love do?
I want winners, damn it.
Love gets you emotional, man.
Exactly.
It would make you crazy.
Adam Vingan coming up 9:30 this morning. Big finish an hour from now. Let's do what we do best. Let's stick to sports.
Number one.
Oh, there was no...
Wait a second. What happened there?
I was about to say, huh?
Where did Marquise go?
I got to play the damn intro first.
There you go.
Stick to Sports is brought to you by...
Brought to you by the good folks at Decorated In Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorated In. When you're ready to decorate your home, office, or outdoor spaces, request a complimentary appointment, which we know in this world is free, well, at least here in the U.S., online at decoratingden.com.
Do I even need to hit the damn button now, or do I just keep going? Do I just ask the question now?
Yeah, just ask
the question.
All right, so question number one. All right. So, man, every time I look at news articles, there's always a weird way to get arrested. And this Charlotte woman gets arrested for warrants because she had late library books. So she basically checked out books where the sidewalk ends and the night in 2017. And apparently now she's got a warrant for her arrest.
Got good taste in books, by the way.
Yeah, very. But no, she... And this could carry to a 93-day jail sentence and $500 fine. If she has to go to court tomorrow.
Did you do a similar story a couple weeks ago about somebody else with like that's going to go to prison over library books?
I don't think you did.
I mean, it might
have
been
like
a month ago.
Second one. Why are people going to prison over books?
Hold on. Okay.
This is ridiculous.
Back in the day, when you didn't return your library book, you just, you know, you had to pay a fine eventually. Or they wouldn't let you, once you finally turned it in, they wouldn't let you get another book for a good while.
Yeah, so that's how she found out. So she went to go get another book, and she found out that, you know, she had overdue books, so she couldn't get a book. And then all of a sudden she had a warrant for her arrest, and the sad part about this whole story is her job told her that she couldn't come back to work until this whole thing gets resolved.
What city is this?
This is Charlotte.
Charlotte's about the dumbest city I can ever.
Isn't that the same one that
stupid?
Isn't North Carolina the state that has the you can get charged with a misdemeanor if you're over the age of 13 trick or treating?
Yeah,
wasn't it North Carolina?
No, that was Virginia. That is just one of the most asinine laws.
What was the other book?
It was Where the Sidewalk Ends and The Night, which I never heard of one of these.
So you've never heard of Where the Sidewalk Ends?
She's wasting.
No.
Shel Silverstein?
They're
wasting
taxpayers' money over two books. She got to go to court now.
That's all such a dumb
thing. It's just dumb. Archaic and dumb. I wonder when that law was implemented.
We should be trying to get more books into people's hands.
Exactly.
Not put people in prison for having books.
Or just send us a check for the book.
Just send us $10.
Exactly.
And you can have it. We'll go buy another one for less because
Absolutely. That's just the dumbest
we got a guy.
And
it
had
guy.
Me thinking, like, man, I got a whole bunch of books from, like, middle school and high
school.
Where
did she work at?
Do you really?
It didn't say where she worked at.
And yeah, then her job says you can't come back
that's
until.
Ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Like,
I got the Great Gatsby sitting in my dumber. Box somewhere.
So you have a bunch of books that that are from the library that you have not returned?
Hey, you better check the laws here or to check the laws in Alabama. You need to check them.
Matter of fact, we need to just move on.
What happens if you cross state lines with a checked out library book? Can you go, is that
like, freeze, give us the Great Gatsby
isn't
back.
That like, that's a federal offense, Dan.
I guess. Can't cross state lines.
Exactly.
Cross state lines with guns all you want. Not books, though.
No, not books. You get thrown in jail.
He's on the run for Hop on Pop.
Number two.
C-Cat Run.
All right, so speaking of, and here's more lawmaker news. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a big fan of daylight savings.
Oh, it's awful.
I don't like it. Like yesterday, like Sunday, I was watching the second games of the NFL games on Sunday, and it's 5 o'clock already. It's dark outside. Yep. It's like, yep. I don't like it at all. So there's a Pennsylvania lawmaker that wants to stop changing the clocks for daylight savings, and this is a proposal from the Lancaster County, Pennsylvania lawmakers trying to make a law to where we stop.
I think well, it should
daylight savings. Isn't it standard time? Now it's standard time, right? Isn't today standard? Like, we switched back to standard time. We need to get rid of standard time.
Yeah.
Standard time it should always be daylight savings time.
It shouldn't get darker. It shouldn't get lighter earlier and darker later.
And the argument darker. on the other side is you can't have kids getting on a school bus at 6:30 when it's, like, dark outside, right? Like, that's the argument on the other side is that it needs to be light in the morning so that you can start your day at a normal. Like, again, though, if you had to pick one, why would you pick the one that makes it get dark at 4:30?
Exactly.
That's a terrible thing.
Some kids are at practice. Some kids are at dance class when they're little, and
I get
their
home.
Parents got to go, it's just leave it the way it was.
I agree. If a presidential candidate said, I am going to end changing the clocks, we're just going to stay daylight savings time, summertime,
for him or
I would vote for that person immediately. Yeah.
But isn't, like, health issues involved in, like, I don't know. Couldn't it harm a certain...
I'm sure there are so many unintended consequences because it started with, like, farming, right?
Yeah,
wasn't
exactly.
it?
Yeah, it was.
Dedicated towards farming.
But we are past those days.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you wake the cow up whenever you want to.
Exactly, man. The cow probably want to sleep a little bit later anyway.
Yeah, so do I. You called me a cow, man?
Yeah.
You called yourself a cow.
You took the wrong job, dude.
Exactly. You called yourself a cow.
Number three.
All right, so a man tries to open a bank account using a fake $1 million bill. Now, I don't know why this dude thought this would actually work, but a Nebraska man is being searched because he tried to use a fake $1 million bill to open up a bank account. Now, why he would try to use that, I do not know, but... Yeah, police are looking for you, dog. So if there's this dude trying to go to the gas station and he tries to use a $1 million bill, call the local authorities immediately for that.
Who's got change for that?
Yeah.
You got change for $1 million bill?
Change for it. But then I didn't know that there was one. Yeah.
Is it actually a real thing or is it like one of those like, what do they call it? It's like a trinket or whatever. It's like a commemorative
dollar bill. Yeah.
There's no way you could actually go take that to the bank and deposit
dollar bill?
I don't think there is.
I would have just laughed at him and I would have took it. I'd have took the $1 million. Just took it and you know what? We'll start a bank account.
A 20.
Can you give me like $3? How much does it take to start a bank account? Like $5
or $10? Yeah.
Okay, give me the $1 million. Can you give me $5 too? $1,000,005. So I start the bank account, but I keep this
$1 million. All I got is this $1 million bill. I don't have any other cash on me.
See, the thing is about it, when you use a bill, at any larger bill than 20, they do the thing where they hold it up to the light and see if they fake. Yeah. So any bill over $20, that's what they do. So why you would think in your back of your mind, you know what? I'm going to start a bank account using the fakest number possible. $1 million at that. They don't even make those, but. Yeah.
It just had to be a joke. But then they want to see
hundies, maybe.
It's a joke now.
They want to see how did he print it. Yeah. So the real question.
You see those movies where like they're selling plates? You know, like the plates where you can print the money. These are the plates. There's always like a thief movie, right? A heist movie where someone's trying to steal the plates. I want some plates. I want a plate for a $20 bill and I can just print $20 bills in my house.
Yeah. And don't spend them, just have them.
No, I'm going to give them to people cash. I'm not going to use them at any establishments anywhere, just for cash. Craigslist.
I don't want to do that at all. But I was watching You know how they do the fake shoes and the real shoes, the counterfeit shoes?
Oh, yeah,
Nikes,
the Jordans, yeah.
Jordans. And I was thinking about it, and because they had this guy was doing this video clip. This is what fake Jordans look like, and this is what the real Jordan look like, and we want the real Jordans. And I started to think, like, okay, both of them are highly overpriced. It takes about $5 to make both of them, and you charge $200. Why not get the fake one? If they're not charging me real Jordan prices and they look exactly like them, why should I pay that money for those shoe,
you know, guys that look, hold on, no fake Jordans?
So my brother.
But if they look, if you, because the two shoes they had, you really couldn't tell unless you were like a shoe
aficionado.
Yeah. Like you really knew the Jordans. But if you didn't, they look the same. So
I will get,
if they're charging me $100 for the fake ones and $500 for the real ones,
dude,
give me the fake ones.
Dude, I'm telling you, like I will send you pictures. So my brothers live in New York, and he buys a bunch of fake, you know, Jordan ones and Air Force ones. But he buys them from this one company, this one guy. He sells them for like $10 a piece or $15 a piece. And he tells you how to pop off a certain piece to make it look like they're the Jordan 1s, right? So, like, there's this little tiny stitch piece that's added so that it clearly looks fake. And he goes, yeah, just take this piece off, and it'll look exactly like Jordan 1s. And he walks around with them all over the place, and nobody can tell the difference.
Yeah. So why am I going to pay?
He spends $15 on
it. Absolutely. They just hate it. The people that sells the real, they hate it.
See, I come from the generation. I come from the generation of getting clowned on for wearing stuff like that. So I have a different mentality when it comes to that.
But when you're a kid, everybody gets
exactly.
You don't get clowned on when you're 35 and
you're
married.
You're the age now where
I can wear fake jewelry.
You can wear
right.
them now.
Yeah, go for it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you damn right they fake. I wear some felines right now. I don't care. I got to the point, like, I'm at the age now to when I was younger and I got my first job, I'm like, man, I'm finna buy all the Jordans. Like, I finally got my own money. I can do it. Now I'm just like, yo, give me them $60 like running shoes, and they look, they're
you know
comfortable.
The next, you know what's with your money now?
You know what's the next step? Skechers slip-ons by Tony Romo. That's when you know you've given up.
No, don't go.
That's
that
when you
route.
Know you've given up.
Don't give up, man. Keep hope alive.
Them hospital
keep
shoes.
Yeah,
those are the most comfortable shoes on the planet, and
those all white hospital
keep
shoes.
Hope alive. You've been looking like Floyd. Keep hope alive. All right, let's go to break.
We made Nick laugh.
Mad leave.
Oh, man.
Nick, you sent us to break her.
All right, man. Let's wrap it up.
Well, all right, when we come back, hour 4.
Back after this.
Morning drive next.